I am honored to be in your pulpit. I want y'all to know this. I hope you already know it. I go a lot of places where preachers just kindly doing their thing, giving fast food out. I don't mind fast food once in a while, but I get tired of it pretty quick. McDoodle's is not my favorite place to eat. If you was here this morning, you got a ribeye. I'll promise you. I love your preacher. I love him for several reasons. I love him, first of all, because he loves Jesus, and I love Jesus. I love him because his love for this book. I love him because his love for you. And I mean that, his love for you. And he's my dear friend. We haven't known too awful long, a couple of years. And I consider him a dear, dear friend. And I love him and his wife, his family. Man, they fed us today. I'm fed up. And it was wonderful. I appreciate it. Preacher, I love you. I'm honored you let me be in your pulpit. I mean that. Love you, preacher. Sure do. Amen. I want you to turn with me tonight to an old favorite passage that everybody's preached out of. And I'm sure you've heard your pastor preach out of it. He may have recently. I have no idea about that. But I want to share a thought with you out of it tonight. And change oil. Psalm 85, and I'm going to read several verses here, preach a few minutes out of the psalm, then I'm going to leave the psalm, but I'm going to stay in the Bible, but I'll come back to it before I get done, okay? It's not normally my way of doing it, but I'm going to do it that way tonight. Psalm 85, while you're turning, I do want to say it's a real joy to be back in service tonight. And when your preacher called, I don't know how long ago, it's been 2 months, I guess, I'm not sure. He won't know if I had, what month is it? October 3. October 3 open, and I knew I didn't. I mean, I'd booked up till almost Christmas, and I knew I didn't every Sunday, and about every week. And, I, to my surprise, man, I looked down, and it was open. And, somebody moved something. I don't even know who done it. I asked my wife who done it. She didn't know either, but, maybe the Lord done it. And I appreciate him doing that so I could be here today. And I love coming to Grace Baptist Church. I sure do. And I love your fellowship. I love the spirit in your church. I appreciate you for allowing me to preach. Amen. And not just give an outline out, but preach. And I appreciate, I really do, from the depths of my heart. And again, if I lived in this area, I probably wouldn't pray long about which church to join. I mean that. This church reminds me so much of the second church that I pastored. And the second church I pastored had the opportunity of starting it 40-some years ago. Matter of fact, I went back this past couple weeks ago and preached the funeral of one of my deacons that I ordained 41 years ago. And I went back there this year also, back in May of this year, and preached revival. And but this really reminds me so much of it, even the building itself. And I appreciate you. I really do. And by the way, it was Grace Baptist Church. And it sure was. And I love it. And by the way, I'll tell you, I don't know where that song come from that y'all got done singing about grace. That was amazing. I've never heard that song. I'm telling you, that was great. Mommy, you ought to get a copy of that. I'll help you learn it. And that was great. I enjoyed that. Then the good song my wife sang also. And we are what we are because of the grace of God. And you know what grace is? Grace is what right opposite of what we deserve. That's what the grace of God is. We don't deserve anything, but it's the grace of God. And I'm so glad tonight God saves sinners. Amen? And I had the opportunity this week. This is awesome. My wife has a little dog named Bella. She's a miniature schnauzer, a little black schnauzer. We've had her 13, 14 years. If you figure all that up, that means she's 310 years old. But anyhow, she still gets around good. And we met a lady the other week while I was preaching in Statesville that I used to be her family's pastor. She was about this tall back during them days. Matter of fact, it was at Grace where I used to pastor her. And this lady that groomed my wife's little dog and our little dog absolutely messed her up. I mean, just got her all whopsided. I just messed her up bad. And so we said, we're not taking her back there. So make a long story short, Miss Carla came to hear me preach the other night. And I wasn't a noter. I hadn't seen her in 30 years. I wasn't a noter. And she told me who she was, her and her uncle. I come to hear me preach. I come to find out, Miss Carla, she grooms dogs. She gives them haircuts, beauty shop, whatever you do for them. But anyhow, she came Friday to take care of our little dog, which was lopsided. And so she groomed her and got her all fixed up. And about 15 minutes before she got done, my wife had to leave and go get her hair groomed. So I had to stand there and hold Bella while Carla finished it. And we got to talking. And she said, preacher, she just has got in church. She's been out of church for years. Just has got back in church, going to a good church, good man of God. And she said, preacher, you know, something bothers me on Sunday morning. I said, what's that, Carla? She said, when the preacher preaches and gives the invitation and says, are you 100% sure you go to heaven if you die? She said, preacher, that bothers me. That bothers me. That bothers me. I said, well, let's talk about it. And we began to talk about it and come to find out she's been out in the world for years. Just went through an ugly divorce, been out in the world drinking. I'm talking, done it all. She said, I parted with the best of them. I said, well, when did you get saved? She said, I got saved, I think, when I was a little girl. I said, let me ask you something, Carla. Could you go out there in the world and drink, do all that stuff you've been doing all these years, and it didn't bother you? Well, I'm doing my thing. I said, I believe I know what you need. And I believe I know why that bothers you on Sunday when the preacher asks that. And boy, I stood right there and led her to Christ in my garage. Amen. And seen her get saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. And about that time, my wife drove back up. And when she drove up, I'm standing there crying. Carla's standing there crying. And she jumps out of the car and comes running up there. She thought Bella had died. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for God's saving grace? Amen. Amen. And I appreciate His goodness. I'll say this. I'm going to preach. Do remember me in prayer. I have a funeral this week of a second cousin that died Thursday morning in our jail. And she's a drug addict. Been in sin, deep in sin, many, many, many years. 48 years old. My second cousin, I didn't know that. I didn't know all the details. And of course, the sheriff called me and was filling me in on it and all that because I'm chaplain of the jail. And I've got her funeral this week. And there'll be some big-time druggy people probably that will be there. Her daddy just has got saved. Did I send you a picture of my cousin I was praying for it got saved? It's his daughter. It's his daughter. And I wish you'd pray for me this week. Of course, I got revival this week also. But I wish you'd pray for me. God will help me in that funeral. When I did her daddy's funeral, God spoke to her daddy. And so he got saved after that. So I wish you'd pray God to help us this week. Aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners? I don't care who they've been, what they've been into, how deep they've been. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so I wish you'd remember that in prayer and pray for that. Pray for revival. And I'm praying for y'all. So I promise you I'm praying for your revival. And I'm going to try to fix it one way or the other where I can tune in one night because I want to hear the preacher preach. And I want to hear him preach. I've heard a lot about him. I've met him. I've seen him. But I don't know that I've ever heard him preach, and I'm looking forward to that. And I hope the Lord will work that out where I can do that. But anyhow, good to be here. How many guys here say amen? Amen. Good to be in the house of God tonight. Everybody got Psalm 85? Let's stand together, please. Again, I want to thank you for allowing my wife and I to come and be with you. Now, this is my third time of being here. Y'all come see me. There's really not but two turns. Go up here and go on Interstate 26. Go to 77, get 77 north. Come to exit 82 in North Carolina. Turn right. In 5 minutes, you'll be at my house. Come see me. Bring up. Let me know when that's going to happen. had been favorable unto thy land, verse 1, and has brought back the captivity of Jacob. You and I would have to say he has been favorable, not only to Israel, but he's been favorable to this land. Then he says in verse 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Sheleth. Thou hast taken away all thine wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us. Now I'll come back to this before I get done preaching. But in those first three verses are, God did six things for them. But in verse number 4 and following, now I respond to what he has done. Look what he says in verse 4. Here's revival. Turn us. Now it'd be easy to say turn the preacher. It'd be easy to say turn this couple right here. But that's not what the Bible said. It said turn us. Bible said in verse number 4, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Will thou not revive us? Did you see us? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Thank you for sending you and be seated. I want to take these verses tonight that I read. We'll talk a little bit about the text. I'll leave the text, but I'll come back to it before I get done preaching tonight. How to preach tonight on this thought. What is revival? Now, I guess there's probably been more books written on revival than any other subject that's found in the Word of God. But yet it's least experienced as any other subject in the Word of God. And I'll just say this, I am confident this afternoon that the generation past has seen things that this generation has not seen. But I want to say this generation can see it. This generation can see revival. I was preaching this week in a national conference. And I was talking about how disturbed I am about the generation that's living right now. You see, when you look back in days gone by, that was real revival that was experienced. But in the day that you and I live in it, you don't see a lot of that today. But I do want to say this, when I think about revival, I think about you and I this evening. We are in a Philadelphia church living in a Laodicean age. You say, explain that. Does it simply mean tonight God has opened doors to you and I? We enjoy the blessings of God. That's the Philadelphia church. But that Laodicean age right before the coming of the Lord, how Lord had been on the outside, and they didn't want anything to do with him. That's the age that you and I are living in this afternoon. And I'll just say this now, when you talk about revival, how many will say, there's no revival going on today. Well, I'll just say this to you. There is revival going on among the Muslims. There is revival going on among the liberals. There is revival going on among the socialists. But I say there can be revival, thank God, among God's people this afternoon. And I'll just say this about revival. If you've ever seen a move of God, you'll never be satisfied with any other thing than revival. I'll say that again. If you've ever experienced revival or ever saw revival, how you'll never be satisfied with anything other than revival. And listen to me. Don't let this bother you or shock you. Most churches I go in is not looking for revival. They're looking at the clock. They're looking at who's going to win the Super Bowl. They're looking at who's going to win the NASCAR championship or the golf championship. I'll say to you tonight, there's not many churches tonight that's really seeking after God and seeking revival this evening. I thought about this verse right here. Bible said in Psalm 42 verse 1, is a hart, that little deer, panteth after the water brook, hath so panteth thee my soul after thee, O God. Bible said in verse number 2, my soul thirsteth for thee, for the living God. When should I come and appear before God? I'll ask you a question now. What do you desire? What are you looking for? Are you hearing me? They said, what are you looking for these days? I listen to me tonight. I do believe God can still give revival. I'm not looking for a nationwide revival. I wish he would. And maybe will. I don't know. But I do know this tonight. I know an individual and an individual church tonight, thank God, I can still have a move of God and still have revival. Amen. Amen. Now the question is, are you hungry? The question is, are you thirsty? The question is, what is your desire? You have a good man of God coming to preach. No doubt in my mind, a great man of God. But I'll promise you, before he gets here tomorrow night, he does not have revival in his back pocket. He doesn't have revival in his briefcase. And by the way, revival ought to start before he gets here. Long since praying and seeking God and asking God, oh God, I do something in my life. I have never went to church any time in my life wanting something from the Lord that I didn't get it. I mean that. I say I have never went to church desiring something from God that God didn't meet my need. And I'll say this to you, church, listen to me. You ought to crave after it. You ought to desire it. Hey, you ought to want to see God one more time. Say so for the glory of God. I've been saved 53 years, 51 years. And in those 51 years, I've been in a lot of meetings. God down through the years has allowed me to conduct over 1,000 meetings, more than 1,000. And usually up the list, I looked at it, who are you? You was, I don't know what you was, but anyhow, you're way up that list. But I'll just say this, out of all those meetings I've seen and been in, I've seen 3 revivals in 51 years. Now, I've seen a move of God. I've seen God stir just a little bit. But I'm talking about a divine move of God. Listen to me. If you have revival, it will change your plans. If you have revival, it'll change your schedule. If you have revival, it'll turn things around in your home. And I remember those 3 revivals I saw. One of them was at my first church. The other one was at Turner's Creek Baptist Church. And the other one was at where I pastored before I went into evangelism. And I remember, and I'll just say a word about this. 2016, we was having our youth meeting. And youth camp, if you will. And man, that thing broke out into revival. I'm telling you, God began to stir and God began to move. The building where I was pastoring at that time was, it would comfortably seat about 500 people. And Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that week, it was pretty evident that God was really doing something big. It started with young people's meeting. By the way, by Thursday night, that thing was packed out. Matter of fact, on Thursday night, there was 1,000 people there. And they was over in the old auditorium in the fellowship building where we had our cameras set up. And for the next 5 weeks, we went out of that building, went under a big tent, bought a tent, see 1,500 people at tents in Indiana right now, up having meeting. And and the next 5 weeks, boy, I seen God. I said, boy, I'm glad my baby's seen that. I'm glad my grandchildren seen that. And listen to me tonight. If you ever have revival, you'll never be the same. If you ever see a move of God, I promise you, you'll never be the same. And I want to say this to you tonight. A lot of places I go, churches are on life support. Did you get what I just said? A lot of places I go, churches are just existing. They're not doing anything, they're just existing. And they're on life support. And they're just about ready to die. I will say to you this evening, oh God, oh God, oh God, stir us up. Hey God, give us revival, stir our heart, and give us revival for the glory of God. Let me tell you what revival is not. Number one, revival is not necessary. I'm going to give you some points in a minute. But revival is not necessary a meeting. And I want to say thank you, preacher, for having a meeting Sunday through Friday. You know what most of my meetings are? Either Wednesday through Sunday or either Sunday through Wednesday. Sun up in the mountain where I come from, it was from Sunday to Sunday. And back in the olden days, they had day services too. And, hey, listen, it'd take 3 or 4 days to get folk right with God. And I want to say this to you now. Revival is not necessary a 5-night meeting. One of the last revivals and move of God that I had in my church. Get this, it started on Mother's Day morning. When I pastored, I used to hate holidays. But anyhow, it started on Mother's Day morning. God broke in that service, and you remember it was 30-some people got saved during that week. And that God just sat down on that place. So I want to say to you now, it's not necessary, though it can start in a 5 or 3 or 4 day service. By the way, revival is not necessarily a large crowd. Now I told about those big crowd that come to that meeting, but what you got to remember is, there's about 10 independent Baptist churches brought them kids to camp. And all of them got involved in that. That's why it grew so big. And I'll tell you this tonight. Revival's not necessarily a large crowd. You ever said about the Welsh revival? It started with 17 people. 17 people. And listen to me now. Revival's not necessarily a large crowd. If that's true, the Catholics has got us. That's just not necessarily true. You say, what is revival? Let me tell you what revival is. Revival is a continuous moving of God. I felt just a little bit of that spirit this morning here. It's a continuous moving of God. It's God stirring our heart on a regular basis. Amen. You know, sometimes we have church, but sometimes we have church. And I'll say to you, revival is a continuous moving of God. Revival is a continuous stirring of God. Revival is a continuous surrendering to God. How revival is God. How responding to the cry of man. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. And I want to tell you, when you see that terminology in the Old Testament, oh God. I'm telling you, there's something powerful behind that. And I promise you tonight, revival tonight is God responding to the cry of man. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Stand up again, God. Revival. Revival. The difference between the churches in the 21st century that's going to get the job done is those that have revival and those that don't. Those that are on life support and those that have revival. That's what the difference is. And I'll tell you this mega, how this contemporary garbage is going on and these clubs around the country, not a church. That's not a church. You don't have a rock and roll band in church. Can I tell y'all why I like him so good? He believes in the old time way. Did y'all get this morning he talked about holiness? That's a forgot thing in Baptist churches. I believe you ought to be holy. I believe you ought to live right. Hey, I believe you ought to walk straight. I believe you ought to look like a Christian. I believe you ought to spit white. I'm preaching good. Are you hearing me? Oh, that's what God honors this evening. Hey, you live right. You watch God, what he does. But I want to say this to you now. I'm going to give him a message. You don't judge revival by the outward appearance of what's happening. Huh? If that's true, they're killing us. But I promise you that's not true. You don't have to have fog lights and fog coming out of the platform to have revival. You don't have to have strobe lights. If that bothers you, God bless you. You don't have to have strobe lights to have revival. You don't have to have a rock and roll band to have revival. Oh, no, sir. God will revive anybody and any church that will pay the price and seek the face of God. I want to do this tonight. I'm watching that clock. I want you to take your Bible. The Bible's a pretty good thing to preach, isn't it? So I'll take the Bible tonight. And I'm coming back to this text before I get done. But I want you to take your Bible tonight. And I want you to turn to two or three different places and I'll show you what revival is. Go into Isaiah chapter 40. Now hang on to Psalm 85 because I'm coming back. What is revival? Go to Isaiah chapter 40. How to say revival while you're turning is this right here. Revival is a renewed strength. I said revival is a renewed strength. I'm reading this verse and I'm coming. Galatians 6 verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You want to tell you what revival is? A revival is a renewed strength. Men, you come in here, you get all fired up, God stirs you from inside out. God sets you on fire. You come dragging in, but praise God, you go running out. Hey, revival is a renewed strength. Look in your Bible in Isaiah 40. I'll show you what it is. You know the verse. Tell me what verse I'm going to read. 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Anybody running shy on strength? Anybody running low on strength? Are y'all hearing me? But they that wait upon the Lord. Boy, that word wait is tough on me. I'm a man of action. I don't even like to wait on the interstate. I want her done now. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You know what revival is? It's a renewed strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew, shall revive, shall stir themselves. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And what he does, Isaiah does, he gives some similarities between an eagle and a Christian. If you study about the eagle, there's a good message in it. You'll find the word eagle is found 34 times in our King James Bible. You'll find that an eagle, some of them, lives to be over 100 years old. You'll also find that they're very powerful. Very powerful. As a matter of fact, they tell me that they can take both of their paws and pick up a 100-pound animal and carry it off. Very powerful. They can crush. With their foot, they can crush the bone in a man's hand. That's how powerful they are. And when you study about an eagle, they fly anywhere from 600 to 1,000 feet. They fly 10% of the time. Then they glide the other 90%. Are you hearing it? They're very powerful. They glide. But you know, an eagle goes through what we call a moping season. And I began to study about that again last week. How that eagle goes through that moping season. How when an eagle goes through a moping season, here's what happens. Number one, they quit flying. They come to earth. They were created to fly. They wasn't created to come to earth. And hey, come to earth. They stop flying. Number two, they stop eating. And they begin to lose their strength. I get so tired of hearing what I'm getting ready to say. I hear Baptist people say this all the time. You know, I just don't get fed anymore. There's probably a pretty good reason for that. I just don't get fed anymore. Again, there's probably a good reason behind that. If you don't bring anything, get anything in, you're not going to get anything. And by the way, that's a cop-out. Hey, my preaching, I love my preaching. I'm getting ready to preach revival in my home church this week. But I don't have to go to my home church to get fed. I got a Bible. I got a Holy Ghost. Hey, I can sit down and read the Word of God and get help out of the Word of God. But anyhow, that eagle, he'll come to earth. He'll stop flying. He'll stop eating. And during that time, watch this, the beak on the end of his, whatever you call it, nose, whatever, it has two holes that it breathes out of, like you do. And they tell me during the time that go through the moping season, that gets chalky, and that also gets like a chocolate cover on it. And that eagle can't breathe. And that eagle can't eat. And that eagle cannot breathe like it ought to breathe. And if that eagle doesn't get help, many of them die during the moping season. And again, as it begins to chalk up, because they've come to earth, have got earthly instead of heavenly, and because it's got all choked up, it can't breathe like it ought to breathe. Have you ever been to church and it couldn't breathe? I say, have you ever been to church and there wasn't no breath? I say, you ever been to church and there wasn't anything breathing? I say, are y'all hearing me preach? That Holy Ghost in the Bible is a picture of the wind. And the wind blows, thank God. And the wind stirs. And the wind blows. Are you listening? And I want to say to you this afternoon, so many times the wind don't blow our way because we've got so earthly. We've got so carnal. Well, let me ask you a question. What did you come to church with this morning on your mind? Huh? I got a pet peeve. Can I tell you about it? You know what drives me crazy? For me to go into church and preach and somebody sit there playing with a dumb cell phone. I had a big old sign in my church. Cut it off or leave it outside. Are you listening to me? We had a large bus ministry in my last church. And those kids on Sunday morning, we'd bring them over into the auditorium. And they would sit up in the balcony in case some of them got to fight. They did. But they would sit there and go on the internet and look at dirty stuff while I was preaching. So I told the bus workers, I said, here's what we're going to do. Is everybody okay? Say amen. Amen. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a policy. They're not bringing a cell phone to church. If they bring a cell phone, they stay at home. Amen. It cost me about half my bus ministry. But are you listening to me? Hey, we get so earthly. Hey, we get so carnal. How we get so attached to this world. We can't breathe when we come to the house of God. No wonder folk don't get stirred. Folk don't get fed because they don't have God on their mind. Amen. I want to say that eagle, he goes through that moping season. You ever see anybody come to church? God bless the preacher. Are y'all hearing me? You need to stand where we stand. You see what I'm talking about. You say, what is revival? Revival's a renewed strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't jump pews. There's a pretty good reason for that. If the Lord tell me to jump a pew, I'll jump a pew. He grabs hard pretty loud before I do. But listen to me. That renewed strength. Have that been stirred up for the glory of God? Hey, revival is a renewed strength. Not like the eagle. Hey, go through the moping season. Let's get it over. They're not eating. They're not breathing. Hey, they're just kind of existing. I refuse to live that way. I say I refuse to live that way. I say hallelujah, what a joy. How to go to church and enjoy the good blessings of God. Revival is a renewed strength. Number two, look in your Bible in Psalm 85. Look at verse number 6. Will thou not revive us again? that thy people may rejoice, not in the ball game, not in the election, not in what's going on outside. For thou not revivest to get thy people may rejoice in thee. He's never disappointed me. Hallelujah. I feel good. Or y'all hear me preach? Amen. I rejoice in the Lord. I don't say revivals are renewed strength. But I don't say revivals are restored joy. It's a restored joy. Can I tell y'all something tonight? We've got every reason in the world to shout. Your sins are gone. They'll never be brought up again. You'll never stand to white throne judgment, be judged. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning or this evening? How you'll never stand to white throne judgment, be judged. Hey, your sins go. You ever tell a product of revival? It's joy. Listen to that. It's a restored joy. David said, restore unto me thy joy. I'll say tonight, revival, thank God. It's a restored joy this evening. I'm not being a hypocrite when I say this. I'm happy. It ain't even trying to be. I love going in the stores. And they say this. Boy, you're happy today. I say, yeah, if you know Jesus, you can be happy too. Huh? You say, you didn't say that. I just said about 1,000 times. And if he lets me live, I'll say another 1,000 times. You say, would you not be ashamed of it? Why would I be ashamed? Huh? Hey, my Lord, for all he's done. You know what revival is? Revival is a restored joy. David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. That great revival that broke out in Samaria. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 8 said, and that was great joy. Praise God. Hey, great, 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 great joy. I've never met a man that had more victory and more joy than my daddy. Everywhere he went, he was just saying, ain't God good? And on his tombstone today, big old letters, ain't God good? Listen to me. Boy, God give me something when I got saved. I'm telling you, joy in my heart. I'm telling you, victory in my soul. The average Baptist that comes to church on Sunday morning, not necessarily the Sunday night crowd, but Sunday morning, they look just like their mother-in-law said to the house on the front porch. A daughter called her mama and said, Mama, me and my husband has been fighting, and I'm coming home. Mother said, no, you're not coming home. I'm coming to live with you. He deserves it. Are y'all, I shouldn't have told that. Are you listening? Hey, revival is a restored joy. Hey, listen to me now. Thank God we got victory tonight. Folk that'll revive has a smile on the face, a shout in the soul, and a spring in the step. Thank God. It'll help you live right. Yes, it will. The battle will rob you of your joy. The burdens will rob you of your joy. The brethren sometime will rob you of your joy. But I'll tell you what revival is tonight. It's a restored joy. Praise God. Listen, you don't have to jump a pew. Now, if you want to jump one, have at it. You don't have to swing off the chandelier. If you want to swing off of it, swing off of it. But I'll tell you tonight, it's more than that. By the way, it's deeper than that. Down in our soul, thank God, when everything else is going backwards, you and I got victory in our heart. Revival is a restored joy. 1 Corinthians 16, watch this verse. 1 Corinthians 16, y'all look at it. You know it, but I'm going to read it. Revival is a renewed strength. Revival is a restored joy. But I'll say tonight, revival, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. Now that don't mean quit. That's not even the word there. Equip yourself like man. Get ready for the battle. That's what it means. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what it means. To be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. That's what it means. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like man. You know what revival is? Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. I said revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. Listen to this. If somewhere during the week, the devil doesn't bother you somewhat, I probably know whose side you're on. You say, does the devil bother you? Every day of my life. He tells me all kinds of stuff. He tries to get into my mind. And the great way to your heart's through your mind. And he tries to get in my mind. But I got some news tonight. Quit ye like men. Stand fast in the faith. Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. Hear me tonight. The devil will jump on you. Hey, the devil will bother you. But thank God, hear me well. Hey, greater is he that's in us, thank God, than he that's in the world this evening. What we don't realize is this. You and I are on enemy territory. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to realize tonight, you're in enemy territory. He didn't say you wouldn't try. He didn't say you wouldn't try. He just said the gates of hell, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll say, a lot of people interpret that verse, I think, wrong. It's not that we're on the defense. It's not that we're trying to hold back. No. Football team has the offense and defense. Basketball team. It's not that we're trying to hold back. We're not on the defense. We're on the offense. Amen. We got the ball. Yes, sir. You'd live in victory in this world. Hey, you'd walk over the devil, thank God, and go on and live in victory, thank God. Amen. I don't know how many times a week I get a text from a certain man in a certain town in a certain church. Not a preacher. Great Sunday school teacher. And he says, I don't think I'm saved. I've been over that with him 9,000 times. And I told him yesterday, text back. I got what I don't even text back. You can't help people that don't want help. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe that book, I can't help you. God can't help you. Nobody else can help you. And I texted him back yesterday and I said, Stan, listen to me. As long as you allow the devil to do that to you, he's going to do it. He, stupidest stuff I've ever heard in my life. The other night our church, Foothills Youth Ministry, where that camp meeting, where that revival broke out, I'm part of that. I'm on the board of directors. They want a young man on that board, so I'm on it. And so, other week we had a meeting, Brother Chris Hazley's in Statesville on Saturday night. They had 300 or 400 people. That is awesome. Man, is awesome. You know Jeremy Chisholm? Man, that boy preached. It was great. And Stan texted me on Friday and said, me and, I shouldn't even use his name, we're not going. Then he texted me about 2 hours later and said, boy, I probably ain't saved. Do you think I'm not saved because I said I wasn't going to that meeting? Well, in God's name, what's that got to do with being saved? Then he talked about how that he walked across the platform. He said, you know, maybe I didn't walk right. I said, what in the devil walking across a platform's got to do with being saved? I said, everything you say to me is works. It's not works, it's done. It's done. Hear me tonight. Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. Hey, when the enemy comes in like a flood, hey, we can resist, thank God. He attacks three ways. Number one, he attacks the messenger. You just don't know what that man right there goes through before time to go to that pulpit. You just don't know. Don't text him and tell him about your ingrown toenail on Sunday morning. My Lord, don't do that. Got a problem, tell him about it. Don't tell him Monday either. Because he'll go jump in the river if you do it Monday. wait till about Tuesday. And the devil will attack the messenger. Are you hearing me? I've probably told you all this before, and you ain't going to like me when I tell you. My last church I pastored almost 40 years. My last church I pastored, I was always there for Sunday school. And I always go to Sunday school. But during Sunday school, unless I was teaching, and I always taught my new converts class. You've got that book. I always taught that book, my new converts class. But unless I was teaching, from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I hid myself. Because Sister Wigglejaws, I'll guarantee you, will come up every time. Brother Blabbermouth will be there every time to get your... Listen to me this afternoon. You need to pray for this preacher. The devil will attack. He'll attack the messenger. Then number two, he'll attack the message. Isn't an amazing preacher? How that a backslidden person will sit and listen to a man of God preach 45 minutes and take one statement of a 45-minute message. Hello? This preacher was preaching. And in his message, he used ain't seven times. There was a school teacher in his church. Met him after service, and she was boiling over. She was so upset. She said, "Preacher, do you know what you've done? Just let him have it." He said, "Dear God, tell me, what did I do?" She said, "You used ain't seven times." He looked at her and said, "I ain't going to change." Are you listening to me? He'll not only attack the messenger, but he'll attack the message. Number three, he'll attack the members. Are you listening? But here's what revival is. Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. He'll say, listen, as long as you let him do it, he'll run over top of you. He'll run over you like a bulldozer. He'll smush you down if you listen to him. He'll tell you you're not saved. He'll tell you your preacher's not right. He'll tell you this is not the right church to be in. He'll have you joining the First Baptist Church in Moab if you don't watch it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you right. Are you hearing me? Hey, revival's resisting the attack of the enemy. I refuse to let him do that to me. He can just get on back to the pit and leave me alone. I feel like preaching. Y'all listen to me? I'm not going to allow that to happen in my life. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And it's just not going to happen. I told you about Brother Tom Malone, didn't I? Brother Tom Malone's one of my favorite preachers. He's in heaven. I think I may have told that. He was preaching. Many, many years ago, had a 35 Chevrolet. Many, many years ago. Over from the mountain where he lived at that time in Alabama. And man, that week, didn't nobody come to church. Nothing happened. Two or three come, dead or in a hammer, got a 50-cent offering. How about that? And he's driving back home in that 35 Chevrolet. On Friday night, nothing happened. Worst week's ever been. The devil's tone said, "You are a fool. You've been gone all week. Man, I'll wreck your home. I'll tear your church up. You ain't nothing but a fool. Look how they appreciate you being here this week." Brother Malone said he put up with that for about 30 minutes. And after about 30 minutes, he said he pulled that old 35 Chevrolet over to the side, got out, walked around in front of them dim headlights, generator headlights. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Walked around on the right side of that car, opened the right side of that door and said, "Hey, get out. I'm making payments on this car. And I say who rides in my car. You get out." Amen. Oh, y'all hear? You know what revival is? Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. Listen, he'll come on you like a flood if you let him. Hey, revival, oh my soul. Don't allow that to happen. Walk around with victory in your soul and a smile on your face, thank God. If I'm having a hard day, I'm not going to say anything about it. What he don't know, I ain't going to tell him, because he don't know everything. Number three. Revival is a renewed strength. Revival is restored joy. Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. Oh my, how we need to do that. Revival is resisting the attack of the enemy. But I'll say this, now just throw this out. I'm not going to preach it. Revival is reclaiming lost ground. It's reclaiming lost ground. I love preaching out 1 Samuel 27. I don't like preaching out 28. Anybody know anything about the Witch of Endor? I don't like that. I like 27, I'll preach out 29, I'll preach out 30, I'll preach out a lot. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, David is all out of the will of God. He's running from Saul. The Philistines has given him a place to stay, a place called Ziklag. And he brings his 600 men and comes back to Ziklag. And when he gets there, the Amalekites had invaded. Had Saul done what he was supposed to do, that wouldn't happen. But anyhow, the Amalekites had invaded the town, burnt the city, took the wives and the children and took them away. And David hadn't prayed in a year and a half. Read your Bible. 1 year and 4 months, David hadn't even breathed one prayer. When you're out of the will of God, running from the enemy. But you know what he does in 1 Samuel 30? He calls for the ephod, which is a picture of prayer. And he seeks the Lord and says, what should I do? And God tells him twice in that, maybe three times in that chapter, go get them, you shall recover all. And he does. The little Egyptian boy finds in the field where the devil, I ain't got time to preach that. But anyhow, that little Egyptian boy takes him to where they're at. They're spread abroad on the earth dancing, carrying on. And David whips a whole outfit and he recovers all. David recovered all. You want me to tell you what revival is? Revival is recovering lost ground. How about that Bible reading? How about that daily prayer? How about that witnessing? Where's that brother at? He's in here somewhere. He's in here this morning. Had him a handful of tracks, getting ready to go out the door. You know the greatest mission field in the world? Motels. Them little ladies that come around to clean your room, that's not the reason they're coming in there. They're coming in there so you can tell them about Jesus. I got to see three of them saved this year in a motel with a gospel tract. You know what revival is? It's reclaiming lost ground. You remember how you used to give out them tracts? How you remember how you used to witness? Hey, you remember how you used to pray? You remember that day a month or that day a week that you'd always set aside and fast and pray that particular day for your church and your pastor? You remember those days? You remember those days when you'd fast and pray for God to do something special in your family, in your life? You know what revival is? It's reclaiming lost ground. Was there ever a time that you're closer to God than you are right now? You say, preacher, I'll be glad Brother Mike gets here. Well, I'm here right now, so listen to me. Are you listening? Revival is reclaiming lost ground. And I promise you this evening, that's what revival's all about. It's getting stirred up again. Hey, it's getting excited again. It's reclaiming lost ground. Oh, my. Well, I like this. If you study your Bible, you'll find Solomon talks about in the book of Proverbs, remove not those old ancient landmarks. Remember them landmarks in your life that you drove down when you first got saved? Huh? Yeah, I like them. And I will tell you, that's been 51 years ago and it's still good today. Remove not them old ancient landmarks. All revivals reclaiming lost ground. Ezra restored worship in the house of God. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. Listen, what's that vow? What's that thing in your life? That lost ground that you've lost about. Hey, revival tonight, thank God. It's reclaiming lost ground. I'm done. I'm going to hush. Revival's not only reclaiming lost ground, but revival. Look in your Bible one more time. Now I'm going back to my text. Look in the book of Peter just a minute. Notice this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read it. Here we go. 2 Peter 1, 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know what revival is? Let me tell you what that verse means. I'm going to tell you what it is. He said stir it up on Sunday night when I preach revival here. I preached on getting the ashes off the altar. Y'all remember that? And them things I had getting the ashes off the altar. There's one thing I didn't have with me. It's a poker. Do y'all know what a poker is? I'm talking about five-card stud. I'm talking about a poker. I'm talking about an iron rod. And you know what Peter said in that verse? As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I think it meet to stir you up. It carries the word picture of sticking a poker in the hot coals and stirring them up and make them ignite. That's what that means. You know what revival is tonight? Revival tonight is refiring the zeal of the saints. It's refiring the zeal of the saints. Well, I never will forget when I first got saved. I wasn't making enough money hardly to pay attention. But somehow or another, when God called me to preach as a young boy, my wife helped me, and we'd come up with enough money every week to go to WIFM radio and have a 15-minute Sunday afternoon broadcast. Son, I felt like I was preaching to the world. I was so stirred up preaching that radio broadcast. There's times I've been in that radio room preaching, and I look in there at the DJ, and he cut me off 5 minutes later, 5 minutes before that. I still pray. Hey, stirred up! Stirred. Are you listening to me? I remember when I first got saved and God called me to preach. The Lucky Break pool room in Elkin, where my buddies were and where I ran around with that crowd. And that's as far as I'm going with that. I'm going to stop right there. But I found myself standing in front of the Lucky Break pool room, Elkin, North Carolina, back in the days before Walmart. And there's hundreds of people walking up and down the street. Y'all remember them days? I'm standing out with a King James Bible and preach. Shout out for the glory of God. Oh, man, are you hearing me? I tell you what revival is. It's refiring the zeal of the saints. That's what revival is. It's refiring the zeal of the saints. Stir it up, God. Just stir it up. My wife and I, when I first got right with God, I would call her from work. I'd be dirty and greasy. And I'd have my radio on the job where I worked. And I'd find out what revival was going on that week. And I would call her, not with a cell phone. I never will forget the first cell phone I got. It was a bag phone, about the size of that communion table. But I'd go in the office, and I'd say, hey, babe, we're going to church tonight. Don't worry about having to wash rag and wash towels. Hand towel. I just change. I put clean clothes on dirty, greasy arms. Grease all over. I want to go to church. I didn't have time to take a bath. I didn't have time to eat supper. I want to go to church. Whoa! Are y'all hearing me? Revival is refiring the zeal of the saints. You say, don't you believe in taking a bath? I do once a week. Revival is refiring the zeal of the saints. Revival is going back to the old paths. And I know people laugh at me when I say that. The old time, old paths. Do you ever desire and dream and meditate on the old paths? I want that. The hope for this church is revival. The hope for your home is revival. The hope for this country is revival. Stir it up for the glory of God. Stir it up for the glory of God. The old Methodists used to shout. I'm serious. My daddy's people was Methodists. And the old time Methodists used to shout. I heard this out of Greenville. Said many, 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 many years ago, this old-fashioned Methodist preacher, they'd have Big Arbor camp meetings, outside meetings, open air meetings. And many years ago, this old-time Methodist preacher began to reminisce in his mind how the old days were and how God would move. And he goes back to an old open air arbor where the camp meeting days were. They hadn't had a meeting in that arbor in 30 or 40 years, he said. The roof was falling in. The weeds had grown up where they'd set pews and chairs. Trees had grown up inside of it. And that old Methodist preacher went there and began to reminisce how that it used to be. And I read where the old Methodist preacher got out there, bowed his head, and just started going around and around and around that old arbor. Oh, God, do it again. 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 Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Oh, God, do it again. And I want to say to you here tonight at Grace Baptist Church, I'm never going to be satisfied with anything other than that. Do it again, God. Don't play. I'll show you one more thing. Come to the piano so I'll quit. Look in Psalm 85. I told you I was going to come back to it. I'm not going to preach it. I don't have time. Psalm 85, watch this. Those first three verses, God makes mention of six things that He done. He's been favorable. He brought back the captivity of Jacob. He's forgiven His people. He's covered their sins. He's turned away His fears of His anger. But look at verse 4. Turn us. Turn us. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward justice cease. Will thou not revive us again? Those six things He said He done. But beginning in verse 4 through them other verses, He said, now here's what you need to do. Number one, you need to turn. Number two, you need to realize you need. Turn us, O God. Look at verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He'll speak peace to His people and to His saints. And let them not turn again to folly. Real revival will last. You won't come and get fired up 2 weeks and go back. It'll last. God is saying six things He's done. Then He turns around and says, now here's what you need to do. And the first thing we need to do tonight is simply this. Hear what He's got to say. Turn. Turn. I want to ask you a question. You've got a great preacher coming to preach a revival. I believe you've probably been praying. It's worth praying. It's worth fasting. It's worth seeking God. I want to ask you a question. I'm done. What are you looking for this week? What do you want this week? Do you want the status quo just going through the same thing again? I'm going up there. October meeting. I'm getting ready to preach the October meeting in my home church. I do every year. Have been for a number of years. I don't want my home church just to have an October meeting. Oh God, to sit out on that place like fog on a fishing pond early in the morning. The Shekinah glory of God sit out. I want God to help us. Turn us, oh God. Turn us, oh God. Are you on life support spiritually? Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, what is revival? Revival is a lot of things. And dear God, I don't know all what it is. And I don't know all about it. But I know enough about it that I want it. I know enough about it I can't live without it. I know enough about it I'll never be satisfied with anything other than revival. God, stir us up. Help us reclaim lost ground. Help us to restore joy. Help us to be refired and refire the zeal of the saints. Stir us up, God. Stir us up. God, revive your church. Put life in your place. Put life in your church. Put life in your saints. Stir us up, oh God. Not just to be emotionally, but oh God, that a lost and a dying world may some see something different. God, put a hunger in the hearts of your people this week. I pray you'll give this pastor the very desires of his heart. I sensed this morning, and I sensed by talking to him on the phone, he's wanting something for God, for his church. Oh God, turn us, work in our lives. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. How many really, 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 really want something from God this week? I want you to raise your hand if you want something from God. Do you mean that? Do you really mean that? Do you mean that to the point that you come bow around an altar and say, dear God, above everything else, I want you to do something this week. I want you to help me. Help me. I know my neighbor needs it, but help me. Won't you come pray with us tonight? Won't you come ask God to give it to you? Won't you come ask God? If there's things in life that's not right, get it out. Get it out, man. Get it out tonight. We're waiting. You want to come? Come on. Come on. If you don't want to sing close to nobody, that's just fine. We got plenty of room at the altar. Love you, preacher.
We would like to thank you for joining us for the evening service of the Grace Baptist Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina, with Pastor Darrell Wilkins, here on WWOS 91.9 FM and WWOS 810 AM St. George, South Carolina, as well as WPOG 710 AM in St. Matthews, South Carolina, and WWOSradio.net. We hope that this service has been a blessing and encouragement to you, and we hope that you have a great week serving the Lord. Please join us next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for the live service of Grace Baptist Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina. If you would like more information about Grace Baptist Church, give us a call at 803-536-4300 or come visit us. We're located at 4305 Columbia Road in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Once again, please join us next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for another live Sunday evening broadcast of Grace Baptist Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Thank you for listening and have a great evening.